appreciate each one of you being here today. Thankful for opportunity to meet together and appreciate his blessings to each one of us throughout this past week. Thankful for health and strength. Thankful for inspiration, something that comes from, I believe inspiration is something we should seek for. Inspiration is more, I believe, than spontaneous, bright ideas. We had a message about that here the wall back, and some people feel that inspiration is only that aha moment, but I believe that inspiration is much deeper than that. I believe that we can seek the Lord for inspiration and we can ask Him to direct us and guide us, and then our inspiration can come from something that is, it's not just a passing whim or something that's just a light bulb moment, although that can be incorporated in it. Inspiration is something that comes from who we're in contact with and who we really are. It's something that just flows out, and it's not very easily disturbed or deviated from. So seeking the Lord this past week for some inspiration for today and not realizing what the Sunday school lesson's topic was, so I would like to say that we're going to talk about being faithful. Whether it's coincidence or the design that God has for us, I believe that would be good for us to consider faithfulness and being faithful a little deeper. So, faithful, I believe we could all agree from our language structure that it means full of faith. Faithful can mean firm in adherence to the truth and the duties of religion. In Revelations 2 and 10 it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So there is great reward for being faithful. Many times I think we can kind of remove ourselves and we look at being faithful either from the perspective of it being in someone else and thinking it's an admirable attribute and maybe even having a great level of appreciation, or we are looking at it from the perspective of feeling overwhelmed with a responsibility that we know is part of being faithful. And so the reward is, if we are faithful unto death to God and to our relationship with Him, we know that the reward is a crown of life, eternal life with God the Father. It means constant in performance of duties or services, exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. It means conformable to truth as a faithful narrative or representation. It means constant, not fickle, as a faithful lover or friend. I'd say all of us that have entered into the marriage covenant would feel greatly distressed if we felt like our spouse's affection was fickle. And some days we felt like we were the favorite, and other days we felt like we were the undesirable. That's being fickle. And so faithful means a lot in our relationship. It means true, worthy of belief. 2 Timothy 2 and 13 tells us, as Brother Herschel already quoted to us, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He's talking about our Heavenly Father. If we choose to go a different way, you know, God is still going to be just as available in our rejection as He is in us following after Him. It means something. I think about our little congregation here, and over the years, the consistency of having services, it's meant something. And there's people that have showed up to service here that would have been disappointed if the doors weren't open. And there's been many a time that those that have come have wondered, is it worth the effort? Is it worth putting out the effort to be there, to turn the lights on, to open the doors, to be prepared with something to share? That kind of thing is the thing that can be a grind to us, because as humans, it seems like we are so susceptible to turning and looking for the shiny object and the thing that gets our attention. And there's something over there. I've had to rebuild a couple fences at my house because the cows always think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. They're always sticking their neck through, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing until the T-posts were almost laying down. And we can be the same way. That's where my inspiration is, and it's just a light bulb moment, and it's not really something that's really motivating us and really giving us direction in life. But being faithful means being consistent. I wonder how many times we as children growing up would have felt depraved and felt rejected if we would have come home and nobody was there. I never had that experience. Every time I came to the house after school, my mother was there. Every time. And my dad always came home from work. He never failed to come home from work. He never failed to go to work. And, you know, I know that, you know, you work someplace for 30-some years, that kind of gets to be a grind. You know, going to the same place and coming home to the same house. And I remember one time in particular that I had got into a little scrape with some neighborhood boys, and they were threatening me, and I was pedaling as fast as I could on my bicycle to get to the house. And when I got to the back door, the door was locked. I'd never experienced that, and I rummaged around. I was young enough, I didn't carry any keys, and I rummaged around and found the key in the hidey hole and opened the door, and somehow my mother had just went up to the town to the post office or something. I don't remember what the situation was. She happened to be gone for just a little bit. Are you talking about distressful now? I don't even know why she locked the door, but anyway, when we come and we're not there, the faithful ones that we depend on are not there, then our world can really just kind of go up in flames. It's just, what do we do now? And all it took was just that little moment. And my mother wasn't out of pocket for 10 minutes, I don't think. But at the time, it was a very distressful thing. And so I want us to realize how important faithfulness is in our individual hearts and lives. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 11th chapter. And many know this passage of Scripture as a faith chapter or faithfulness chapter of those that are faithful, heroes of faith, or my margin says a roll call of the heroes of faith. So I would like to look in verse 13. He says, all these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now I want you to just try to soak in a little bit what that verse is telling us. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. How fulfilling is that? If you work all of your life for something and you never achieve it, are you still going to be faithful? If you've worked all of your life to attain some monetary goal or whatever it might be, some place, some position in your family or in a career, or so, if you just worked all of your life and that was your objective and you didn't get there, how fulfilling is that? And this says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they had a vision of what they were wanting to attain, and they saw it afar off. But what happened here? They were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers. They realized that they weren't in control, they weren't in command of this, but they could see where they wanted to go, they see what they wanted to obtain, they saw the vision of Christ coming, of the spiritual kingdom, and yet because it was out there, they remained faithful. They didn't. So let's go back and look at some of these. It says here, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered. Abel was one of those. What did he see? What was he told? You know, there was a promise of the Savior given to Adam and Eve in the garden. And yet, we look back and say he was so far before Christ came. And yet, he was faithful. What did it mean to be faithful and not receive the promise? You know, I want to say this morning that I believe that the epitome of faithfulness is to die believing that your goals and your objectives are correct, even if you don't ever obtain them. That's the epitome of faithfulness. You know, you could die believing that your family could be unified and be faithful to that and not ever realize that in your own lifetime. You know, think of those that have prayed for children that have been unsaved. And they believe that the Lord would and the Lord could. And yet they passed on being faithful to take those ones to the Lord in prayer. That's faithfulness. Is that wearisome? Yes, it's wearisome. It looks like that you're never going to receive. And maybe you don't in your lifetime. But do you see the ingredient of being faithful? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you and I are going to face our toughest trials. Because you know what we're tempted to do? What's the use? I gave it my best effort. Have you ever tried really hard at something and really earnestly, sincerely put your best efforts in it and it didn't turn out? I've been there. I've also been at the place where I thought I put my best efforts in and gave up on something and realized afterwards I shouldn't have. I remember once throwing something in the trash can and I was frustrated with it and I thought I'd done everything I knew to do and I threw it in the trash can out of desperation, and down the road it's like, I know what was wrong with that. I know what I could have done to resolve that issue, but I wasn't faithful. I'd throw it away. And you know, we can do that. in our life, we can say, well, you know, I prayed for them three times a day. I prayed for them once a day, every day of the week. I done the best I knew how in my interaction with them. And, you know, I'm done. We can do that in our humanity. And that's not being faithful. And that's where it really becomes a grind for us. I would like to challenge us and encourage us to be faithful, because somebody, the list of names in this chapter were faithful. And the scripture's observation is, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Not just one of them. It says all of them died, not receiving the promises. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They knew that it was coming. They knew that God was going to be faithful. They knew, just like Timothy observed, that even if we don't believe, yet he's going to be faithful. He's going to, you know, I've heard all of my life that we live in the end times, and I'm past 50 years old now, and I believe we are. I believe the end is much closer now than it was when I was a child. And I don't mean that to just try to be a little bit lighthearted. I'm sincere. I believe that the end is coming. And I believe that we must be faithful. We must have integrity with the Lord. And I know it gets weary. You know, we would like to get it all put together and say, we're ready, Lord, let's get it over with. But it really comes right down to us being faithful day in, day. If the Lord don't come in my lifetime, it doesn't mean the end's not coming. If I don't see it, if I'm not here to see the Lord coming through the clouds, it doesn't mean he's not going to get here. It doesn't change the reality of the judgment day. It doesn't change the reality of people being changed in the twinkling of an eye. It doesn't change the reality of any of that. It just means that I'm required to be faithful, just like God's being faithful. They were faithful. The ones that's listed in this chapter, they were faithful in spite of the obstacles they faced. In spite of all of the things that they came up against. I'm thankful for the faithful ones in my immediate ancestry. And I'm thankful for the ones in the scripture that were faithful. There's been many individuals that have been faithful to the call of God down through time. And every one of them that has been faithful has faced the type of things that would cause the ordinary, the unfaithful, to just cast it aside. Being faithful, or to be considered faithful, we have to be willing to continue when others don't. Ever thought about that? Those that were faithful down through the scripture, many times they're the ones that stood out all by themselves. They were the only ones that were faithful. So how many, we got a small group here this morning, but do you ever feel like you're completely alone? You might feel like you're in a very small minority, but have you ever looked around and felt like you were the only one? I don't know. Maybe you have in a specific situation, but you know, I'm thankful for all of you all. I'm thankful that I can depend on you to be faithful to, that it's not just, I'm not the only one that wants to live for the God in this present evil day that we live in. You know, if we sign up to be faithful, we're signing up for some undesirable components as well. I'd like for everything to be smooth sailing in life, but unfortunately it's not. Unfortunately, we're gonna have some times when faithfulness is gonna call us to step out of our, sometimes we use the phrase comfort zone. It's gonna cause us to step out of the place where we feel secure, where we feel approval, where we feel like the place that others, we don't meet others' expectations, but we can be faithful in those times too. And there's a call for that. And there's a time that we have to be faithful, even when it's not the most popular thing to do. I'd like to go now to the individuals that were listed here. And in verse 4 it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." He being dead yet speaketh. What speaks to us? Abel's faithfulness. Abel's faithfulness. He's dead, been dead for many, many years. But his faithfulness is what speaks to us today. So I'd like to go back to Genesis, the 4th chapter, and notice what it says here about Abel. And, you know, there's parts of the scripture that one of these days, we're into God's presence. If we think it's important when we get there, we're going to ask him to give us some more details. And we may get to heaven and you know, that may be the last thing on our mind. I don't know, but this is one of those areas I just like to say, Lord, what really happened? In the 4th chapter of Genesis, we pick up the story here in maybe the 3rd verse, and it says, "In a process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Now in that 8th verse, it says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother," and there's a colon there, right? And then it says, "And it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Now, I don't know what went on, but that punctuation and just the way it's there, I don't think this was a small talk. I believe this was quite a conversation. And more than one commentator says that the scriptures, even in the Pentateuch, in the days of the apostles, and in up into the first century A.D., included some things there. There's something called a targum. You ever heard of that? It was like I'll just leave it like that. Like a commentary of scripture. includes that, I would like to read a little bit of it, what it said. It says, "And Cain said to Abel his brother, Let us go into the field. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain answered and said to Abel his brother, I thought that the world was created in mercy, but it is not. governed according to the merit of good works, nor is there any judgment, nor judge, nor shall there be any future state in which good rewards shall be given to the righteous or punishment executed on the wicked, and how there is respect of persons in judgment. And now there is respect of persons in judgment. On what account is it that thy sacrifice has been accepted and mine not received with complacency? And Abel answered and said, the world was created in mercy, and it is governed according to the fruit of good works. There is a judge, a future world, and a coming judgment where good rewards shall be given to the righteous and the impious punished. And there is no respect of persons in judgment. But because my works were better and more precious than thine, my oblation was received with complacency. And because of these things, they contended in the face of the field. And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and struck a stone in his forehead and killed him. Now, I don't have any way to tell you that that was actually what happened or not, but more than one commentator says that something to that effect was originally there. There is some details. You kind of wonder about what did they talk about. You ever face something and people wanted to talk to you? People wanted to try to convince you of something that drew you away from being faithful, drew you away from the perspective that God was good and that he was righteous and he was merciful and all of the. You ever had people like that tell you that how can a good God do this and how can a merciful God do that? And they want to bend your ear all around and twist you upside down. And you know, somewhere along the line, we're going to have to make a declaration. We're going to have to say, I believe. I believe that God is a God of mercy. He's a God of justice. He's not a respecter of person. And I don't know what instruction these two young men had as they were growing up. I believe that God instituted sacrifice, and I believe he told them how to do it. I just have to leave it like that. And I don't know all the details. I don't know what this conversation was all about. But I know the conversations that I've got into. And I've got into conversations where I had to come to the place that I said, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but this is where I have to be. This is a position I have to take. And that is where we're going to be called to be faithful. There's going to be times that people are going to come against us, and it looks like they've got all the answers, and they've got all the explanation, and they can outmaneuver us and outthink us and outwit us and all of those kind of things. And Lord, help us to not depend on our ability to navigate the treacherous depths of being able to outwit someone. But help us to be willing to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my life, I believe that God is a merciful God. I'm not going down that path. I'm not going down. There was a time in my life that somebody called me on the phone, and I hadn't had a cell phone very long, maybe a year or two, and they called me on the phone, and they run my battery completely dead on one phone call. I got so tired of shifting my phone from one ear to the other. My arms was going to sleep, and it was a time of year that I went outside and laid in the front yard under a tree, and I talked and talked and talked and listened and listened and listened to the point I finally had to tell the person, I'm just not going there. I can't. I wanted to help them. I wanted to be in a place that it all made sense, but I had to come to the place, I'm not going there. I have to be faithful to the convictions God has given me. I'm not going down that path. And you're going to face those times. You're going to feel pressure. Well, if you really loved them, you ought to do this. If you really cared about them, you ought to think about this. And there's going to be somewhere in there you're going to have to realize, I have to be faithful. I want them to know where the reference point is. I want them to know that when they come back, the door is not going to be locked. When they come back to the place, they realize there was something there They're going to find you still keeping the lights on, still keeping the fires lit, still keeping the word fresh in your life and in your mind. They're going to know where you're at. They're going to know what you stand for. They're going to know what it takes to be right with God. So I've challenged us this morning that when it comes right down to the where the rubber meets the road in being faithful, that we'll be willing to do that, because we can get under a lot of pressure to make allowances, to make exceptions, to make a little deviation here or there. And when we do that, our faithfulness can go out the window. So may the Lord help us. I'd like to go back to Hebrews. We won't spend a whole lot more time here this morning, but we may take some more of this up this evening. But we'll go back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and notice the next one on the list. We started with Abel, and he was very early in the history of mankind on the earth. It says, fifth verse. By faith Enoch was translated when he should not see death, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I'd say all of us here probably know a little bit about Enoch, and I don't know that I have any better understanding than anybody else does. But if we turn over to Genesis, the fifth chapter, we find here, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And that's the history that we know of Enoch. And everything else that we can draw from that is, one is the scripture here that we read in Hebrews, and the other is from circumstantial evidence. And what do we know about the time that Enoch lived? We know he's 65 when Methuselah was born. That's what the scripture says here. We know Methuselah was the man that lived the longest. And if you do your research, you'll find out that Methuselah died the year of the flood. And so 65 years before Methuselah was born was when Enoch was born. And he lived another 300 years after that, begetting sons and daughters, as Scripture said. And by the time that Methuselah's life came to the conclusion, to the end, the world was in such distress that God had determined to wipe out humanity completely. So, you know, people, we don't just go bad all of a sudden. It's a journey for people to go from wholesomeness to vile. You look on at somebody that begins to lose out with God, and what do you see? You see them becoming a little bit slack. And you see them laying some things aside. And you start seeing them pick up a few things from the world. Maybe some outward things. Sometimes it's attitudes. Sometimes it's dispositions. And you see them gradually letting go of one thing and getting hold of something else. And as time goes on, it may take a generation. Seems like it goes faster than we want it to, but it takes a time. You know why? Because they're scared. They're afraid of the consequences, but just a little by little, they take in more and more of the world. And right during all of that, Enoch had such a relationship with God, and he was so faithful that it says that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What does that tell us about, you know, I've often wondered, did Methuselah die of old age or did he drown? You ever thought about that? And he was Enoch's son. All during the time that the world was going downhill, you know, we could go down here and read a little more. It says that Methuselah lived a while and beget Lamech, and then he beget a son and called his name Noah. Where was Noah's daddy at? Where was he in all of this? Where did he, was he faithful like Enoch, his grandfather? Did Noah know Enoch? How much, there's some debate maybe over that, but how much, where did he get his integrity? You know, faithfulness is going to cost us something right in our own heads, right in our own hearts. We're going to have to make those conscious decisions. I'm not turning loose. I'm not going the other way. Right during, that's why Enoch's name is in here. In this chapter of the heroes of faith. He was there. He lived a life of integrity at a time when everything around them was going out the window, was going downhill. The world was getting in bad. Don't you know that things were bad when Enoch was a young man? How has the world went in the last few hundred years? Away from God, right? It's important for us to maintain our, it's important for us to be faithful. And Enoch had the level of faithfulness. Some people say that he had an experience of what we might say holiness. He had his whole nature surrendered to God. I don't know. It's hard for me to fathom how he could have had that. I know he had a personal relationship with God somehow, and he was faithful right during a time when it wasn't conducive to be faithful. And for all of us here today, I want to say, we are not living in a time when it's conducive to be faithful. It's not popular to be faithful. It's not, there are so many options. That's why I don't like grocery shopping, is because there's so many options. If there was only one size and one brand of ketchup, when my wife said, go get some ketchup, it'd be no problem. But when I go in there and there's 12 sizes and 4 brands, I don't know what to get. And that's the way it is with our, in the world we live in, there are so many options to be something besides faithful. Something besides faithful. Well, we can turn loose of the Lord here a little bit and it won't matter. We can turn a little bit loose over there and it won't really matter. But we find some of those, what did Abel do? Right in the face of his own brother, making accusations that God wasn't fair. He was faithful. He said, I know there's coming a time. I don't know if he said exactly that, but I believe that Abel, he wouldn't have been in Hebrews if there wasn't some understanding that it wasn't just sibling rivalry, okay? That's not what caused Cain to take his brother out. There was something else. Abel was being faithful to the God of heaven, and the vision, let's go back and read that verse that we started with there in Hebrews. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What did Abel see afar off? He saw a time where mankind could be reconciled with the God of creation. He had that in his mind, and he was faithful to that when Cain was coming with all kinds of accusations. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in Hebrews 11th chapter. Enoch was the same way. I believe he had a vision and a perspective. There's coming a time where we can be reconciled completely and totally with our God. And he lived in such a manner that God took him, didn't even allow him to experience death. That's pretty faithful. So where are we? Are we willing to be faithful? I'm going to tell you, it's going to take something in the world we live in, because we live in a world that's a whole lot like Enoch and a whole lot like Noah. There's people all around that's scoffing at faithful integrity in men's lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. I feel like that I can be better. I have areas I can improve. And I want to be counted faithful. Because there wasn't just the ones that's listed above this verse that we read in Hebrews. There's the whole chapter is full. There's people that's anonymous in the chapter, 11th chapter of Hebrews, that were just as faithful. And we can be one of those anonymous, faithful people that get added to that 11th, to the list in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You pray for me.